And we are here again on a Friday night. I'm glad that you hear me. Is everyone doing okay? You can give me an amen. Make sure that you hear me. Okay, so I'll make sure the mic is working okay. You know, so. All right, so I'm glad that you're here. And y'all know my favorite saying. Y'all could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here tonight and to hear this message. The Lord laid this message on my heart. And kind of in a way, I don't know why he directed me in this direction, you know, because reviewing my notes and looking over the sermon and typing the message, you know, I was sitting there Monday, you know, praying, and this came upon my heart. And a lot of times, this is where I get inspired when the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And generally, when I'm praying, I write things down so that way I can review it later. And it kind of led me in this direction, but you know, it's kind of given, I want to say given, but let's say leading up to what I just said about us not realizing the holiness of God, you know, the returning to God, having that zeal, that desire, that love, that earnestness, you know, that draw. I mean, it's just a lot of people these days just don't seem to have that no more. It's like they lost that connection somewhere, you know. It's like, I don't know. I can't put my fingers on it. It's just that love is not there. You know, it's just gone. It's just, you talk to them about, you know, the Lord, and you talk to them about God, and you know, and you hear a lot of, to me, good responses, but it's just, to me, I see it's the lack of the love. You know, and I just don't know, but I'm glad that you're here. There are some who are not here tonight for whatever reason it may be. Hey, I don't care. Like I said a little bit earlier, my heart's for God. And I'm going to keep trying to do whatever I can do. And if a few of y'all just keep showing up, then so be it. It gives me a purpose. It gives me a desire. You know, at least, you know, when messages are placed upon my heart, a lot of times it speaks to me, but I hope that you do get a lot out of them. Again, you know, if it speaks to you, I'm glad it does, because at least it's doing something. Amen. So now I got a question to ask you tonight. And I always ask a lot of questions. And if you'll see me face to face, you'll see me looking directly at you if I will ask you the question. But how many of you here tonight have seen those Taco Bell commercials boasting of the Big Bell value menu? Now, I'm one of them. I've seen the commercials, you know. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but if you know Taco Bell, they got those Big Bell value menus. That's a tongue twister. But a lot of customers who eat there boldly proclaim, after eating that big menu, man, I'm full. Now, how many of you can say that about your relationship with God? Think about that. How many of us here tonight can say that about our relationship with God, that we are full? How many of us can say, I'm full in my relationship with God? I'm full of His grace and His power. I have everything I want and everything I need. Truth be known, probably, and I'm going to say this, you know, you can say yes, if that's you, that's fine. But truth be known, what I was trying to say earlier, probably none of us here can say that it rings true. We can say it by faith, and that's a general reaction we always say. We say it by faith, yes, I am. Yes, I am. We can make it a confession, but is it really happening? Is it? You see, folks, I throw these questions out to kind of get you to dig deeper, to get, you know, your thought process going, to get you to start thinking about, am I really what I am? Am I really saying the correct things? Or should I think about myself and examine myself more often? See, this is just my habit. It's just the way I do it. It's just the way I teach and the way I preach, because I'm trying to get us to understand, you know, when we need to understand, when we draw closer to God, we need to understand what holiness really means. And sometimes I think a lot of us forget what that really is. Now, that's why I said, is this really happening? And yes, there are times that you and I can be pushing those limits for too long and not bother to eat or remain full, or worst off, not bother to remain spiritual full. Now think about that. Let me read this again. There are times that you and I can be pushing those limits far too long and not bother to eat or remain full, or worst off, not bother to remain spiritual full. Now, I'm not trying to point fingers at nobody or anything. That's not me. Far be it for me to do that. But if you be sitting in this chat room like I have for the last 7 years, and quite frankly, a lot of people that came in through this chat room, I don't see that spiritual fullness. I don't. If it was true, if they were really true, instead of just responding by saying it by faith, but really, 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 really digging down in the heart, being spiritual full, you know, folks, this room would be overflowing at the seams. Churches would be overflowing out the doors. Worship service would be overflowing beyond imagination. Where is the spiritual fullness? Where is it? Where is it? Quite frankly, I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're turning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. One passage. And it says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I know I don't understand why I was led to this message tonight, but you know, I'm standing here before these kind folks who's here tonight. Father, I hope that we listen to the words carefully spoken here tonight, that I at least, you know, just do whatever you called me to do, to be your humble servant and just to preach the message, however the message is meant to be preached. And Father, I'm not afraid to preach the word as you called me to do. I'm not afraid, you know, to dance around the bush. I'm not afraid to speak the things that needs to be spoken, because we talked a little bit earlier, you know, we pride ourselves on biblical truth, and this is what we preach, and this is what we teach, and this is what we discuss. And Father, again, you led me in this direction for this message tonight. It caused me to do a lot of deep thinking, and, you know, a lot of thinking about my spiritual fullness. You know, is it really what it should be? And I can respond by faith with a quick yes, and I always say yes. But you know, when I sit back and really think about this, and really think about, am I spiritually full? And a lot of times, I have to be honest with my own self. A lot of times, I'm not, and I need to understand this, and I need to understand what it means to be spiritual full, and work on this, and be better at this. You know. So I ask you to bless those folks who are here tonight. Put a protective hedge around them. Like I said, they could have been elsewhere, but they decided to commit to be here tonight. So Father, bless them. Pour out your blessings on them. Love them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Let them know that you are there for them no matter what. Father, there are some who decided not to be here tonight. I don't know what their reason is. You know, they just seem like they just don't have that zeal and that desire anymore. So, you know what? Just work with them and work on their hearts, you know, and draw them back to closeness and fellowship. And hopefully they can start, you know, interacting and being more with other brothers and sisters. So, Father, we ask of you to do all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, y'all saw the message when you enter the room. You know, I mean, I don't have an automated thing which you can flash the title over like it used to be in the old chat room, but at least when you enter the room, you see the title of this message tonight is called Running Low on Fuel. Now, tonight's message is Running Low on Fuel. And we will focus on, are you running low? Or has the Spirit-filled fuel gauge running or sitting at the low level alert? Or has the warning light came on saying you're almost out of gas? Even some fuel gauges, if you got some fancy cars today, they would at least tell you how many miles that you have left before you run out of gas? How many miles do you have left? And do you know it? Are you at this point? Have you reached this level in your Christian walk? And is your spirit gauge warning you that you are now at a dangerous low level and you need to fill up? Unlike a car, when we get low on fuel, we know we're pushing the limits, and at times we think, well, I can still make it to where I am going. Or you say, well, I know I can go a few more miles to find a gas station. And when you say that, you say, hey, yeah, I know I can make it. I can go a few more miles. I don't need to stop here. I can keep going. But then all of a sudden, mile after mile after mile after mile, no gas station. And the warning light is blinking. And some cars is blinking and making that little irritating dinging noise. And you hit another mile, and guess what? No gas station. Now you're at this point, you're starting to come unglued. You're getting nervous. You're panicking. And you're scared. And then you start thinking, oh no, I'm going to run out of gas. And I'm going to be stranded on the side of the road. And sadly, my friends, many Christians sometimes treat their spiritual walk with the Lord in this same manner. Once they have a full tank and they drive and drive and drive and drive, but never consider the thought of keeping their gas tank full. They never do. But then when the warning light or the sound comes on, or something happens in their lives, what do? They make a mad dash to get filled. They run to church, or they run to the pastor, or they run back to the Lord and pray to attempt to find the station to get their spirit tank back on full. Folks, look. And I'm guilty of this sometimes myself. You know, I'm the first to admit to you that sometimes I do this. This should not be so in our walk with the Lord. We should always have that desire and hunger for God and have our gas tanks full at all times in our walk with Him. So in tonight's message, we're going to take a look at the hungering and the thirsting for God. And we're going to talk about what it means to hunger and thirst for God. And then I hope that we will have a better idea of whether or not you're doing it. So here are a few points to consider the meaning of the hunger we should have. The first point here tonight is the hunger. Now, I'm sure many of you at one point or another has been driving around either with your parents in the past or on your own, and at some point the gas light comes on that signifies you're running low on fuel. I've done it. I'm not going to sit here and kind of like think, oh, the Jumbo has never done that. Well, yes, I have. But at this point, you realize that, look, if you don't put fuel in your vehicle, it would ultimately go chug, 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 cluck, cluck, cluck. Then it'll stop, leaving you stranded and unable to operate the car. And what we do sometimes, we still try to start the car. And the car won't start. I done it. But isn't that what some Christians do with their spiritual walk when they run out of gas? They hope that you can get the engine started again and try to get to the station and get it full, but a lot of times they're stranded. And guess who has to come along and help them get back on full? Many of us has been spiritually running on empty far too long. Some of us may even be out of fuel completely, and we're left stranded, and our faith isn't working. And you know what? It's time for you and I to fill up. Now, if you were in the room with me tonight, I would say to everybody, say, fill her up. Fill her up. The thing about your spiritual walk, my friends, that your spiritual tank is that, let me rephrase it. The thing about your spiritual tank is that you can't afford to let it get empty. None of us can afford to let our spiritual tank get empty. When you go days and weeks without praying or feeding on God's words, you get spiritually weak, and then you begin to sputter. And some of you who may have run out of gas, you know that feeling, how the engine is starving. It's sputtering. It's trying to keep going, but eventually it just shuts down. And this is what happens with many Christians today when they don't feed that spiritual tank. They start to struggle. They have difficulties. They have problems. Their thought process is not what it is. They have a hard time focusing. They just can't figure out what's going on. Because you know what, my friends? In my encounters and my talks I have seen with a lot of people, they are not getting spiritually full. They got full, but they decided to use up all their gas, but they never given it a thought by keeping it full all the time. We have to realize that we need God's fuel every day. Every day. We need that fuel. We need it. Without it, we cannot go on. And here's the thing about being full. It begins with a desire, a longing, a hunger for God. And again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness, for they will be filled." When you're hungry, and I mean, folks, really hungry, you have to have this need for food. Your stomach starts growling, and your body gets a little bit weaker. This is clearly an indication that your body needs fuel. Or in other words, that your body needs food. At this point, the expression is, we all probably said it, "I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse." Which means you can eat a lot, and it doesn't matter what it is. Now, Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. He did. Physically and spiritually, he knew. And he considered the spiritual hunger to be more important than the physical. How so? Let's check it out. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says this. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Wow. Church, Jesus hungered more for the word of God than he did for regular food. He knew that it was more better for him to be filled with God's word. This is why you and I, we need to understand the importance of hungering for the things of God. Now, we know about hunger, don't we? But there are also times when you have a craving for a certain kind of food. And during these times, you're hungering for something. You're just not hungry. Do you get that? During these times when you have that craving, that desire, you're hungering for something, but you're not just hungry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 says this, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Peter said that we need to have the craving for spiritual things, for the things that are going to help us grow in our salvation. Now, I kind of looked at this a little bit. Now, sometimes husbands, at times, has what I call the automatically group cravings with their pregnant wives. And let me tell you, my friends, many of these ladies, they have a weird cravings for stuff like peanut butter, applesauce, pickles and milkshakes, or some weird off-the-wall things. And usually when they have those cravings, usually a lot of men have the same cravings. But you know, regular people have cravings too. And when you crave something, it's like you want it so bad that you have to have it. And you can't do without it. And that's what it means to hunger for the things of God. That's what it means, folks, to hunger for the things of God. We can't do without them. We can't do without it. We can't do without the Spirit. We hunger for God, folks. So my question is, why don't we? As I said earlier, there's a lot of people I've been talking to as late, a lot of people I've been seeing in, or the few people I've been seeing in church, or quite frankly, the few people I've been seeing here on Friday nights in this message, the few people I've been seeing here on Tuesday evenings in the Bible studies. Why they don't hunger for the things of God? Why are they not hungering for the things of God? So why don't we? Why don't we? And I had to think about this one, and I really had to think, Lord, why don't we? Why we don't have that hunger no more? Well, John Piper put it this way, and I love how he put it. He said, the weakness of our hunger for God is not because he is unsavory, but because we keep ourselves stuffed with other things. And the things I'm talking about is such things as Facebook and chat sites and internets and social media and TV and games and personal things rather than God and so on. We're constantly stuffing ourselves with things other than God. We don't have that hunger. Yet we have that craving, but we're craving the wrong things. We're not craving the right things spiritually. Folks, if you are stuffed with other things, if you are stuffed with other things other than God, you're not hungry, are you? Folks, you know me. I don't beat around the bush in these messages. I'm not trying to call no one out. I just say the truth, what God has told me to do. If we are stuffed with other things other than that hunger for God, we are not really hungry. We're not hungry. And many Christians today don't have that real hunger. So let's go back to the car analogy, okay? If you put something other than gasoline in your gas tank, like water, it wouldn't work properly, would it? Plain and simple, it only operates on gasoline. Now, some cars being built today are hybrid cars. They run on electricity. But I'm just talking about I'm using gas for right now. Plain and simple, folks, it operates on gasoline. Well, your spiritual life operates on faith. So if you stuff yourself with other things other than God and what His Word says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's not going to work properly. It's not going to work properly. Which brings us to our second point for tonight. And I had to examine my own heart when I was trying to sit here and say, okay, where do I go afterwards? Lord, why are you leading me into this direction? What's the purpose of this? And I've been doing a lot of soul searching in the last several weeks because we started a new ministries and we're traveling on the road. And me and my wife, you know, we do talk a lot about the Lord on the way up there. We see some crazy people too, you know, like yesterday we was in traffic and this one dude gave my wife such a look like, wow, if looks could have killed, she'd have been a dead person. But, you know, it caused me to start thinking, where's that hunger? Where's that hunger? And I have seen some people, honk if you love Jesus, also give me the one finger salute. Really? Wow. Where's the hunger? Because I think what's happening to a lot of these Christians today, they are stuffing themselves other than the real gas. Or as I would say, spiritual fuel. So we're here to the second point, which caused me to start thinking. There must be more. There must be more. Have you ever just had a feeling that there's more out there? Have any of y'all had that feeling? Is there more out there? I know I have. That's what you're experiencing now? It's not all that God has for you. It's not. That there's more in store for you and your life, including your relationship with your Heavenly Father. The thing about hungering and thirsting for God is that there's always that desire, and that's how it should be. If you're hungering, really hungering for God, if you're really thirsting for God, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, you know, we don't do these things out of requirement. We don't do these things out of obligations. We don't do these things because we're forced to. No. We seek and desire and have that hungering and thirsting for God because of our love for Him. And no matter how much of God's presence you get or how much of God's words you soak in, my friends, if you have that desire, if you have that hunger, if you have that thirst, you are always wanting more. Like I said earlier, some folks just do enough, get their tanks full, take off, and don't ever give them no consideration of keeping it full. And then when they run low, that's when they panic, and all of a sudden they get in trouble. You are always wanting more. I can't get enough of it. Folks laugh at us when we show up to church 20, 25, 30 minutes earlier, like, wow, y'all early birds or what? Well, I can't help it because I want to be here. I want to be with other brothers and sisters. I hunger and thirst to be with them and understand that I want this because I love God, because I want more of it. I have that real hunger. I have that desire. Some will just wait till the very last minute to show up and walk in through those doors. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't know why they act this way or do that. I'm not going to call nobody out. But you know what? If you have that hunger and desire, you should be there at least 10 minutes till or 5 minutes till or 15 minutes till. You should be wanting to be there all the time. You know, hey, I would love to be in there all day, but some folks probably will call me crazy. But I have that desire, that hunger, and I want more of it, and I crave it. But I notice a lot of times when I do fill that tank up, I sometimes keep on taking off on the road, and I don't give the fuel gauge a second look, then I start running low. And this is why I go back to church on Wednesday nights. This is why I go to church on Thursday nights, because I need to get re-spiritually full. Look, we all have the Holy Spirit in us, but we must constantly be filling that cup up. Just like I got a cup of water sitting right here I sip on from time to time. It was full when I started on it, but now it's halfway down. Sooner or later, it's going to run out. But if I don't put more water back into it, I'm going to run out of gas. And this is what's happening with many Christians out there. They're not constantly filling that tank back up. Folks, this should be our ultimate desire. No matter how much God's presence you get or how much God's words you soak in, you should always want more, more, more. And that's how it is. That's how it is when you hunger and thirst for God. You always want more. Now, I looked at the lyrics of a song, and I know some of you know the song or not. I looked at the lyrics of this song called Consuming Fire. It's written by Tim Hughes. And let me read the lyrics to you. There must be more to this, O breath of God. Come breathe within. There must be more to this, Spirit of God. We wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire. Fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way with us. Come like a rushing wind, clothe us in power from high. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your praise. Lord, let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. Wow. My dear friends, this is how we all should be at all times in our walk and relationship with God. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. You, like me, probably check the fuel gauge in your car every time you start the engine. It's a habit that we cultivate based on the consequences of running out of fuel. But are we as conscious about checking our spiritual fuel tank? Are we? Are we that conscious about checking our spiritual fuel tank? In other words, how often are you filling your heart and mind with the truth of God's words? How consistently are you having a personal Bible study, sitting under biblical preaching and teaching, and dialoguing with biblically based authors and friends by reading sound theology and discussing the Bible with others? You see, the symptoms of inferior fuel, and there's bad gas out there, but the symptoms of inferior fuel in a car are many. Failure to start, rough riding or idling as we call it, or poor gas mileage. If you are experiencing any of those symptoms in your spiritual life, then it is time to check your spiritual fuel gauge. There must be more. There must be more. We haven't experienced all that God has for us. We hadn't experienced all that God has for us. God is good. God is good. And God has more in store for us. We shouldn't ever get satisfied with what we are. We should never get satisfied in the place that we are at. I call it being complacent, being at your comfort level, sitting in that one spot. Or in other words, it's like your car, your rear wheels are jacked up, or some cars, the front wheel drive, whichever way. It's jacked up off the ground and the wheels are just spinning. We should never be satisfied where we are. We need to make room in our thinking for the great things God wants us to do. Our best days are ahead of us. God wants to do more than we can ever ask or think. But remember, it's according to the power that works in us. We, you and I, have to stir up ourselves. We have to step out of complacency. Or in other words, what I'm trying to say here, don't get too comfortable in your comfort zone. If you stay there far too long, you're missing out on what God has in store for you. How about start moving forward? Because complacency, my friends, is being satisfied with what you are at. And this should not be with none of us. Because if you are satisfied with where you are at, you won't move forward. You won't grow in the things of God. You won't experience more. Folks, when you hunger and thirst for God, you will always want more. And the Bible promised us that when we hunger and thirst for God, we should be filled. We'd be filled with every good thing we need. So are you low on fuel? Have you ran out of gas? Well, here's the good news. There is no reason for anyone to run out of spiritual fuel, and you never will, if you are in constant prayer, in constant Bible studies, and remain faithful to your calling. But if you ever recognize your need for God's help, if you do, I'm not asking you to confess it whether you do or not, but if you ever recognize the need for God's help, He will give it to you. He will give it to you. And God will respond just like He did for the believers in Acts. My friends, the spiritual station is open. This could be your day for a fresh filling. If you've been carrying a heavy load and you don't feel the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, then go to God in prayer and ask to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Ask Him to remove any obstacles in your life that are hindering the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Ask Him to take it out of the way. And I leave you with this tonight. The reason why I'm telling you this, to ask Him to take it out of your way, to get that spiritual tank back on full and constantly keeping it full. Because, my friends, the presence of His Holy Spirit in you is the greatest expression of His love for you. Let's pray now that we be filled with the Holy Spirit and that everything we say and do will be directed at Him. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for reminding me some things that I also need to be reminded of, and how I need to kind of constantly watch my fuel gauge more often and keep it full and keep that hunger and that desire within you and not allow myself to get filled up on useless objects or things or distractions or whatever they may be that's causing me to start running on empty, that I know that needs to be worked on, and I know I need to be more focused on you, and all I can do is ask for forgiveness in these shortcomings of mine, and all I can do is ask of you just to strengthen me and give me the wisdom I need to do the right thing and to seek you in a more intimate direction, to seek you in these things to just allow you to do what you do best to keep my tank full. Father, again, if there's some who not made it here tonight, if their spiritual fuel tank is running low, I ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, reach out to their hearts. Some have stayed away, and they don't want to fellowship with us no more. They don't want to talk Jesus no more. They're filling themselves up with other social media things or other secular things or whatever it may be. Father, I ask you to reach out to those people. And those we encounter in real life, and those we may see in church, you know, we may see that look on their face, and they may just seem like they're running on empty, but maybe it's up to us to use that encouragement to let them know, hey, God can fill you back up if you allow it. Look, we're not perfect, not by a long shot. We do make mistakes. But thank you for showing us these mistakes, and thank you for allowing us to try to get it right. So, Father, we ask of you to empower the Holy Spirit in us to keep more focused on you, to keep that fuel gauge running near full instead of being on empty all the time. So we thank you, we love you, we praise you, and glorify you all in the sweet name of Jesus. We all say, amen.